Hi, this is Pastor John Koopman of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Mankato. We are a congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that strives to embody the historic teachings and practices of the Christian Church as found in the sacred scriptures. If you enjoy or have questions about this brief message, please get in touch with us. Our building is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. We have divine service at 8 o'clock and 10:30 on Sunday mornings, with Bible class and Sunday school between at 9:15. Again, this is Pastor John Koopman of Our Savior's Lutheran Church, and thanks for listening. Today's broadcast is sponsored by Doris Emick, with thanks and appreciation of our secretary, Sue. The Gospel reading for the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost is from Luke chapter 20. There came to Jesus some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection. And they asked him a question, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, having a wife but no children, the man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife and died without children, and the second and the third took her, and likewise all seven left no children and died. Afterward the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had her as wife." And Jesus said to them, "The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and to the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, for they cannot die any more, because they are equal to angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him." Then some of the scribes answered, "Teacher, you have spoken well," for they no longer dared to ask him any question. This is the gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. Living God, your almighty power is made known chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Grant us the fullness of your grace to lay hold of your promises and live forever in your presence, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There came to him some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection. Just as today among God's people, at the time of Jesus, there were divisions and distinctions amongst the Israelites. Most well known to us are the Pharisees and Sadducees. Today we see in particular the group known as the Sadducees. Now the Sadducees were a Jewish sect that flourished right around the time of Jesus. They were wealthy and powerful individuals, primarily made up of high priestly families and aristocrats who controlled the temple worship. Additionally, they were friendly to the Romans and worked with Roman authorities. While the Pharisees were lovers of man-made laws, the Sadducees were more interested in their family heritage. Sadducees were also the theological liberals of the day, denying the resurrection of the body and even the immortality of the soul and future judgment. They denied the existence of angels and spirits. While the Sadducees ceased to exist when Rome was destroyed, or when Rome destroyed Jerusalem and the temple in the year 70 AD, the spirit of the Sadducees continues on today. Like them, there are plenty of people who are more interested in worldly power, wealth, and prestige, and their family lineage than they are in Jesus, the Savior of the world. In fact, there are plenty of people who claim the name of Christian and also deny the resurrection of the body, the immortality of the soul, and the existence of a spiritual realm. These people are more interested in power and wealth in this life than they are in the eternal rewards in the life to come. It's akin to the social gospel, which forsakes eternal justice and replaces it with social justice on earth. Additionally, as there are fewer Christians and our collective biblical literacy decreases, people begin to come up with strange, unbiblical notions of what happens when a person dies. This often leads people to come up with bizarre superstitions about death and the afterlife. Couple that with death being a marketable business, from funeral services to flower shops to memorials to grave decorations, and you end up with a lot of confusion all around. So just as Jesus simply shut down the Sadducees with the scriptures, let us today simply ponder the resurrection of the body by looking at the scriptures. So to begin with, we need to have a basic understanding of anthropology. We need to understand what man is. From Genesis, we read of our creation. The Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. Then Jesus speaks of death in Matthew, saying, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Thus, to be human is to have both a body and a soul. You are made up of two parts, a body and a soul. To be clear, you are not a body with a soul, nor are you a soul with a body, but you are simultaneously body and soul. This is significant. You are more than your body. Life is more than fulfilling your bodily needs and desires, because you are also a soul. You're a physical and a spiritual being. This needs to be a constant reminder for us, because our bodies have all sorts of passions and feelings which are actually spiritually hazardous to us. Now, for example, it might feel good to sleep in and stay home on Sunday mornings, but you know, that is spiritually bad for us to not go to the divine service. It's also extremely significant that you are more than your soul, but you are also your body. Your body is you, and it's not disposable, and so you can't just do whatever you want with your body, because your body, just like your soul, belongs to the Lord. He bought you, soul and body, for a price. Namely, he bought you with his own precious blood shed on Calvary's cross. So we don't only glorify God with our souls, but we glorify God with our bodies. This is particularly important to understand in death. Death is not annihilation. We're not like insects or trees. So when you cut down a tree and you burn up the wood, or you grind it to mulch and it decomposes, that particular tree ceases to exist. It's annihilated, so to speak. And so death for man is the unnatural separation of the body from the soul. The soul and the body continue to exist. Yes, even the body continues to exist. Even if the body is so decomposed that its particles are not findable, it exists. Jesus says, "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment." The dead body continues to exist even though it may decompose to some extent or another. Death, the separation of the body from the soul, it is unnatural. Death is not a good thing. God did not create us to die. Death is the result of sin, right? So what are the consequences of sin? Death. Therefore, death is unnatural, and it is most understandably upsetting. When we grieve and mourn for those who die, we do so because death shouldn't exist. Death is sad on a fundamental level because it is separating what God has joined together. Humans are meant to live with both a body and a soul together. So when a person dies, what happens? Well, the body is laid to rest. Because when you die, that body lying there is still you. Your body is not a disposable extra part, like a husk which is discarded, or like a burden that drags down your soul. But your body is still you. This was understood since ancient times and explains why a person's body would be carried sometimes great distances in order to bury the body in the family grave. When you die, you shouldn't think of your body as just your body, as if you don't need that anymore. Because your body is still you. For thousands of years, forever really, this fact that your body is still you has shaped the way that Christians have treated bodies, both living and dead. But what about the soul after death? The soul of the unbeliever, like the rich man in Jesus' parable, is taken to hell and is in perpetual torment. The soul of the Christian, however, is taken to heaven. Saint Stephen was dying. He cried out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Jesus said to the malefactor on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Saint Paul says his desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. So what exactly this looks like cannot be discerned from Scripture, and in many ways is inconceivable since we have not yet lived without our bodies and our senses. So is it kind of like, I don't know, like the sensation of dreaming or sleeping? Perhaps, but I couldn't say for sure. I know we won't yet have our bodies and that it will be very good and comforting, and that's as far as I can go. But thankfully, the intermediate state, the time between death and resurrection, is temporary. For the Lord himself says, "But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him." The separation of the body and the soul is not going to last forever. Death is not permanent. For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Since Christ Jesus died for our sins, was raised on the third day as the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, he will also raise with him all those believers on the final day. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. As you remember those blessed saints who died with the Lord, as you think on those beloved brothers and sisters in Christ who are nearing death, and as you ponder your own mortality and eventual departure from this life, think on these things and meditate on the immortality of the soul and the resurrection of the dead to life everlasting. Learn to reframe the way that you think and talk about Christian death. We must learn to scrape our tongue of the worldly morbid way of thinking about death so clinically. The Bible has such a lovely way about it. The Scriptures call it not death, but sleeping. It's not a casket, but a bed. The cemetery is just a bedroom. It's a field with planted seeds awaiting the second coming of the Son of God. For the dead in Christ shall awaken. And death is therefore nothing more than a slumber. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. I hope you enjoyed this devotion of Our Savior's Lutheran Church. To learn more about our congregation, visit our website at oslcmankato.org or give us a call at 507-385-2180. God bless you.